You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Everybody, and welcome to the Box Score Breakdown on a Tuesday, the 9th of February 2021. I am your host, Mr. Jolly of Sydney. My partner, of course, is Scotty Harland. He is aka the Harlander 23. There can be only one. He is actually the Harlander, H-A-R-L-A-N-D-R, Harlander 23 on Twitter. With the at the front, and I am Mr. Jolly of Sydney on Twitter. We appreciate your follows. Of course, I am Jolly as in happy. What else could you be with a name like that? Shout outs to the big knobs from Hoopball, Aaron Bruski and Dan Bespris from Fantasy NBA Today podcast. Get involved, support one of the best things going in the fantasy NBA world. Go over to hoop-ball.com and check out some of the great content over there. On today's show, I am here on my lonesome, as I am sometimes. The good news is for you guys, there's lots of interesting fantasy nuggets to get through from a very interesting slate. Let's just jump straight into it, shall we, and talk about another Brooklyn Nets game. And they're always interesting, aren't they? High scoring. If your guys are coming up against the Nets, you're usually feeling pretty good. And for me, that means Jeremy Grant today. I've got him in a few leagues, got him at really good value. He was huge in a 122 to 111 point victory for the Detroit Pistons. It was a great win for the Pistons, who may still have designs on, or delusions, depending on your view, on a playing spot. They'll likely beat their over-under, and they're nowhere near as bad as we thought. There was no KD again, of course, for the Brooklyn Nets. It's rumored that he will return on Saturday. Until then, they'll have to make do with their sort of their superstar combined with sort of motley band of dudes that they've got. For Brooklyn, James Harden had 24, 6, and 12 with 2 steals and 5 blocks. He's leading the league in assists by some distance from second. Disappointingly, perhaps, if you drafted him first or in the top three, he's just 9th on a per-game basis, but you can't really complain with the help that he's getting you in assists. Like, he's basically just winning you one category. And, of course, he adds those defensive stats as well, doesn't he? 2 steals and 5 blocks. The points are down, the threes are down in Brooklyn, but we do expect that probably that will pick up, but you definitely can't complain, especially, as I've said before, considering the other top three guys this season were either AD or Karl Anthony Towns. And obviously, Towns is just killing you if you've drafted him. You know, obviously, it's really sad what's happened to his family and stuff, and him being unwell as well, and we wish him well, but you know, he's basically missed 20% of the season or more in head-to-head leagues. That's really hurt you. So, again, I don't think you can complain about James Harden. Kyrie had 27, 2, and 7. It was 12 for 28 shooting, which is a bit unusual because his percentages have been absolutely outstanding this season. He's fallen back a little bit to 8th on a per-game basis, but once again, you can't complain because you probably drafted him like I did in a few leagues, somewhere between around, you know, pick 24 and early 30s. I think I got him anywhere between 24 and 35 in the leagues I drafted him in. DeAndre Jordan had 9 and 8 with 2 assists and a block. He is fine to hold if you need rebounds and blocks, and he's also fine to pick up if he's been dropped somewhere. If you need those boards, field goal percentage and blocks, I have dropped him a couple of times in a couple of leagues, and I picked him up again in a couple. It just really depends on what's out there. Jeff Green, Uncle Jeff, has fallen off a little bit. He had just 10 and 2 with 1-3 on 4 of 9 shooting. He's not a must hold. He does have that triple positional eligibility in Yahoo that I've talked about before as well. And so I hang on to him in a couple of places and dropped him in a couple of else, just diversified myself a little bit. Joe Harris was quiet in this one with just 6 points on 2 of 6, but he remains definitely a must hold because just some of those games where he just explodes like last week, he is inside the top 75 on the season. Bruce Brown had 8 and 9 with 1 assist and 4 steals. He's just a deep league streamer, but he's 93rd in the last week, a bit of a boost with KD out as well. The steals are, of course, what you stream him in for because he's a very good steals streamer. And for the Detroit Pistons, of course, Jeremy Grant is their number one player, and he has been amazing this season. He had 32, 5, and 4. He hit 11 for 19 shots, 4 threes at 50%, 6 for 7 at the line with a block. He's 25th on the season. After a quiet week last week, he with some tough matchups, he's picked it up again this week, and he just, look, he's definitely someone I didn't want to sell high on him. I wonder if anyone did sell high on him. What did you get for him? I'd be very curious to find out. But he's one of those guys who's a late draft pick who ends up possibly being a league winner for you. And I think in the 3 or 4 leagues I have him, I'm doing very well in all of those leagues. So thank you, Jeremy. Another person that some people might be thinking is Miles Plumlee. I picked him up and dropped him. He had a couple of bad weeks after a couple of decent ones, but he had 14, 12, and 7 with 2 steals and 3 blocks, 7 for 10 shooting, and he did not take a foul shot, which you love because his foul shooting is rough as guts. What is not rough as guts is DeLon Wright. He had 22, 4, and 9 with 2 steals. Wow. He's been returning top 50 value over the last couple of weeks, and you just absolutely adore what he's doing for you. Again, you probably picked him up in like somewhere like round, at least round 10 or 11, maybe even 12 or 13 or 14, or you picked him off the wire. He looks, really does look to be value. Blake Griffin does not. He is rough. He had 9, 5, and 2 with 3 steals, though, which you love. The 4 of 11 shooting is not good. 1 of 5 from deep is also not good, and he missed his only foul shot, so not getting to the line anymore. Wayne Ellington looks like he's a drop. He had just 19 minutes. He had 8 and 2 with no steals, no blocks, of course, and he did hit 2 3-pointers, though. Back to kind of just being a 3-point streamer by the looks of it. Josh Jackson is not. He's must add. He had 13, 4, and 2 with 2 steals and 1 block, 5 of 10 shooting. And the minutes were up to 28 minutes. He was the first man off the bench, and he looks like a big beneficiary of the Derrick Rose trade. Sadiq Bey does as well for 14 teams, or definitely for 16 teams, but 14-team leagues. He's also back on the radar now for 12 teams. He had 15, 3, and 2, including 3 for 3 from deep and 6 for 6 from the field. Now, obviously, that crazy efficiency is not going to stick, and he played 22 minutes. With Dennis Smith Jr., of course, coming in to get some minutes. They'll have to see what he does. Killian Hayes to come back. I don't think he has rest of season 12-team value, but in 14 teams or 16-team leagues, you could certainly have a look at him. The second game on the slate was the New York Knickerbockers up against the Miami Heat, and this was actually a really good game with punctuated by some pretty grinding defense and some occasionally horrible offense here and there, but just exciting to watch. Part of the horrible offense was Julius Randle. You just gulp a little bit because he was 4 of 18, and the longer the game went on and he continued being bad, he continued to jack up shots. Probably he's part of the reason they lost because in the fourth quarter he just was rough with his shooting. That's 22% from the field, but he still managed to have 12, 8, and 3, and he kind of made up for it with 2 steals, which is not something that he usually does a lot of, but so you do appreciate that. Mitchell Robinson had 2 and 7 with 2 assists, which is not great, but what was good was the 3 steals and a block, which is why you have him, don't you, for those blocks and steals. RJ Barrett had 13, 6, and 2. Alfred Payton seems to definitely be the winner of the Payton versus Quickly thing that went on for a while. He had 18 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists. Quickly had 7, 2, and 3 with 1 steal. But we're here to talk about Derek Rose, aren't we? Derek Rose played 20 minutes. He had 14 and 1 with 3 assists and 1 steal and 1 block. He was 2 for 3 from deep. And he actually played well. When he came out there, they went on a, I think it was a 20 to 3 run for a while. And they're on the edge of sort of blowing Miami away. Then Jimmy Butler sort of turned up and started playing well. The starters came back in and Randall kept missing shots. RJ Barrett wasn't great either. And so this remained a tight game up until the very end. So what do we see here? Oh, by the way, the other thing worth mentioning, Nerlens Noel had 6 and 7 with 3 blocks, and he did play 19 minutes. That's the kind of minutes where he does have 12-team value as a steals and blocks and in a little bit of field goal percentage, but he doesn't really shoot very much. So the fallout with the Derrick Rose stuff is I think he's borderline 12-team. He's rostered absolutely everywhere. We'll see how he goes. Maybe he plays more than 20 minutes, but in 20 minutes, it's not going to be that great. So by the time you're listening to this, he's probably gone everywhere, or you streamed him or picked him up. If you own him and he has a couple of good games, he is an absolute sell high. If you can package him into a 2-for-2 and flog him off, I would do that, because I just don't see him having big 12-team value the rest of the way. But he's got that name, hasn't he? And he can put up some big games from time to time, which I'm sure he will. For the Miami Heat, some interesting stuff here. Do we start with the most interesting or the best player? Well, best player, of course, is Jimmy Butler. He had 26, 8, and 10 with 1 steal, 1 block. The shooting was a little bit rough, 6 for 15, but he hit a 3-pointer. He was 13 of 15 at the foul line. Ridiculous. Ridiculous that he got 15 shots. Bam Adebayo also was at the foul line a lot. He had 13 of 16 at 81%. Bam was also good. He had 19, 6, and 2 with 2 steals and 2 blocks in his 35 minutes, although the field goal percentage was rough. 3 from 9. That Miami defense is obviously under Thibs pretty good. Now, the interesting stuff. It's Kelly Olynyk and Kendrick Nunn. Olynyk is a guy who falls off and on waiver wires because he's just not sexy. And he was bad when the good guys were out. We have talked about that before as well. And he's been much better since Jimmy Butler came back already. He's inside the top 100 in the last, since Butler returned, he's been a top 100 player. And he had 20 and 3 with 6 of 8 from deep. I think he's gone something like 11 games in a row now with multiple three-pointers, meaning 2 or more three-pointers. This was really, really good from Kelly. Duncan Robinson is not. He had, this season anyway, he had just 4 points, and he couldn't hit the side of a barn with a pea gun from about 1 meter away, because he was 0 of 5 from deep and 0 of 7 from the field, just 4 points and 5 rebounds. Tyler Herro had 15, 7 and 4. He has been better recently, had 35 minutes as well. And Kendrick Nunn is a pickup. Again, he had 11, 2 and 3 with 1 steal and 3 three-pointers, whilst Goran Dragic is out. He's a definite pickup, that fella. The next game on the slate on this Tuesday night recap was the Rockets getting flogged by the Pelicans, 130 to 101. For the Pelicans, which is for some reason is a team I haven't seen a lot of live this season. I think teams like Charlotte and Detroit and New York, these sort of like newer breakout teams. The Suns is another team I enjoy watching. I've watched quite a lot of those guys, as well as the really top teams. And the Pelicans just been a bit disappointing. I'm not a huge Brandon Ingram fan for some reason. I can't even explain why. But I probably do need to start watching them because gee, some interesting lines here. Zion Williams had 25 and 7 with 1 steal. The thing we watch with him is the free throw shooting. It has been not fantastic, but not as bad as what it has been in previous seasons. He was 8 for 10 from the line today at 80%. You love to see that. 6 for 10 from the field for that 25, 7 and 1 line that I mentioned. Josh Hart, what on earth? Need to almost PED test this. He had 20 points, 17 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal and 2 blocks. And shout out to my partner in Dan's $75 Roto League, because I streamed him in for this game. And that was one of the lines of the night. Brandon Ingram had 22-5-3. Lonzo Ball had 15-6-3. He's been better recently, of course, after a pretty rough patch before and after his injury. Bledsoe had 10-2-4 with one steal, and Steven Adams had 6-4 with two assists, two steals, and a block. Shout out to Willie Hernan Gomez, who got 25 minutes off the bench. A little bit of garbage time influence there, but still worth watching. He was the seventh man today. He had 14-10-4 with one steal and one block. He's on your deep league radar. Kyra Lewis, the rookie, is starting to get some minutes. He had 20 minutes. He had 10 points, two rebounds, and one assist, and is worth watching moving forward. For the Rockets, Victor Oladipo did not play in this game. I'm just about to say bad things about Victor. It was because his shooting has been rough, isn't it? But they didn't have him, and they were not good in this game either. John Wall had 25-5-4-6. Eric Gordon had 23-1-3 with 4 3-pointers on 8 of 19 shooting. There's that high volume, low percentage shooting that he does. They really are missing Christian Wood, aren't they, in a really big way. They need him back. The wheels have kind of fallen off since Woody has been missing with that injury, and we still don't know when he'll be back exactly, but it sounds like it's going to be at least another week, maybe a couple of weeks. They might be without Christian Wood, and that is not good news. Daniel House Jr. is one of the beneficiaries of Wood missing. He had 13-8 with 5 assists and 3 steals. I have not picked him up yet. I've seen him getting picked up in a couple of places. He is possibly worth watching or streaming, depending on what happens. And Jayshon Tate, I'm streaming him in a couple of places. He had 13-7 with 2 assists, 1 3-pointer on 6 of 9 shooting. The percentages for Jayshon are actually very good. The next game on the slate is the Golden State Warriors up against the San Antonio Spurs. And the Warriors, surprisingly, quite good Warriors. They're up to 13-12 after a rough start to the season. They're looking like a playoff team. And of course, for the Golden State Warriors, you cannot talk about them without talking about Steph Curry. He has been providing top six value this season, and you can see why with his 32-4-2 line, 11 for 20 shooting. The field goal percentage has been a lot better after a pretty poor start to the season there. It was 4 of 10 from deep and 6 of 8 from the foul line. Good work from him. Draymond Green had 6-7-11. Such a Draymond Green line, isn't it? Just 6 points. More rebounds than points, more assists than points. He had one steal, no blocks today. Be surprised after, I think he had, was it like 7 of those combined in his last outing? And he has been better over the last couple of weeks or so, Draymond Green, for people who drafted him. I did not, because of the injury worries. Kelly Oubre Jr. had 12-10 with 1 assist and 1 steal on 4 of 14 shooting. So it's back to Kelly Oubre in this one rather than the lovely stuff. It's sort of like he seems to be getting into this pattern now of having like one good game and one bad game, or two bad games and two good games in a row. And you can kind of stomach it because he's now inside the top 90 on the season. Andrew Wiggins had 14-3 with 1 assist and 3 steals. 5 of 14 shooting from him was not fantastic. Now, we need to talk about Juan Toscano-Anderson. He's a guy I'm streaming in a few places, might even be a long stream. He had 11 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1 steal. If you look over his last 4 games, the worst number of rebounds he has, I think, is 8. I think it's something like 8 and 11 and 10 and maybe 8 again. He's averaging about 9 rebounds a game over the last 4 games. He is absolutely worth considering as a streamer. The field goal percentage was not great today. It was 5 for 14, but prior to today, good field goal percentage as well from him. For the Spurs, what happened to DeJounte Murray? Last game against these guys, he was just absolutely off the charts, wasn't he? This one, not so great. He had 8 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists, 4 of 10 from the field for DeJounte Murray. A little bit of a, what's the opposite of a bounce back? A little bit of a flaccid bounce down, if I can coin a phrase, from where he was in the previous game. They were a little bit disappointing, of course. When you get flogged, you're not going to see a lot of good lines. Rudy Gay played 24 minutes, and he had 17-6-1. Patty Mills had 13-2 assists with 3 3-pointers. There was even 25 minutes for Trey Lyles. How about that? He had 15-6, did Trey. Jacob Poeltl was not potent today after a really good game. He had 4 and 5 with 2 blocks, though. Now, whilst LaMarcus Aldridge remains out, he's going to have some of these games which are crappy. I mean, this is the Spurs to a T. Just about all their guys seem, with the exception of like DeMar DeRozan, they seem to be pretty inconsistent, and they share around who has the good games, which means a guy like Poeltl might end up getting dropped. And if he does get dropped, the rebounds and the blocks upside, whilst and the field goal percentage as well, whilst LaMarcus Aldridge is out, is just it's really good value, and you probably go and grab him unless you've just got, you know, no room for a center. But yeah, I would just go and grab that guy. Keldon Johnson had 13 and 6 with 6 assists and 1 block. He's inside the top 60 on the season. It's been a great breakout season for Keldon Johnson, and he's one of the few people following up from an amazing bubble and actually doing well in the season. It's almost like there was a bubble curse, wasn't there? Like, you look at a guy like Tommy the Tank Bryant from Washington, who was the number one center in the bubble, apart from AD, on a per-game basis, and he was ranked in the top 8 of all players in the bubble. He's done his knee. TJ Warren Jr. was incredible in the bubble. Look at him. He's been shocking. Booker could not miss a shot. He's not been good. Who's the other one who was cursed? Trey Burke was just unbelievable. Now he's basically out of the rotation for the Mavs. There doesn't seem to have been much of a correlation between the bubble and what's happened. But Keldon Johnson is a guy who, towards the end of last season in the bubble, was pretty amazing. He was just incredible in the bubble as well. And now you're seeing with this top 60 return that it's real with Keldon. And if you can get hold of him in Dynasty Leagues, I've got him in a couple. I would absolutely do that. If there's an opportunity after some bad games to go and grab him, do not miss out on Keldon Johnson. So we've got 3.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Games to go on the slate. Before I get to those games, I need to remind you about the Fantasy Pass. The Fantasy Pass is just $4.99. You can go and find it on hoop-ball.com under the main media wall. What do you get with the Fantasy Pass? Well, you get all kinds of articles that are behind the paywall. You get all kinds of great content that's behind the paywall. You get updated appraiser tools. You get schedule tools. You get advice on DFS. And you also get access to something called Discord, which is a bit like Slack, or like a threaded chat channel. It's what a lot of the different fantasy sites are using now, as a way that you can basically get one-to-one advice from all the different experts, from the DFS experts, from the season-long fantasy experts. There's threads on trades. There's threads on pickups and drops. There's threads on all the teams have threads going on in there. And there's also something called a daily tweet storm. Normally Dan Bespris or Adam King, one of the top editors, shout out to Kingy. They do a tweet storm over on Twitter, where they tweet out a summary of each game and talk about the relevant things related to pickups and drops, or buy lows or sell highs. It's just really informative. But 5 of those a week are behind a paywall, and you can only get access to it inside the Discord, which is, it's absolutely worth the $4.99 a month. Also, that $4.99 is, you just pay it for 1 month, and if you don't like it, you don't have to do it beyond that. But I absolutely believe you would. Go across to hoop-ball.com and check it out right underneath the main media wall. That is hoop-ball.com. The next game, when you talk about the Utah Jazz, are the Utah Jazz the best team in the NBA? Well, they've won 15 out of the last 16 games. That would suggest that right now they are. They did not have Mike Conley. Shout out to Michael Hussey from New York, who was saying,
The Jazz are at full strength, but the Celtics were missing Marcus Smart.
Marcus Smart.
Well, actually, the Jazz were missing Mike Conley as well. And as good as Marcus Smart is, and he is obviously very important to the Celtics statistically and just in terms of the way he fires them up, Mike Conley has been great. He's been a top 60 player this season. Do we want to start with the Jazz because they're so good? No, we better start with the away team. It was Boston who were away. Jason Tatum had 23, 4, and 4, but on just 7 for 20 shooting. The field goal percentage, I think I was arguing with one of the early guests on this show about that, and they're talking about the field goal percentage coming back up for him. But let's have a look where it ends up. Last season, it was around about that 45% mark, and this season, it's not too much better than that so far. He does shoot them out of games occasionally. You don't like to see this 7 for 20 shooting. Jaylen Brown has got good field goal percentage. He was 12 of 20 for the field, and he's 33-8. Wow, he just keeps on smashing along. Kemba Walker was not good. He had 7, 4, and 7 on 2 for 12. Now, I know that this is like there are contract reasons for this and other things about why they had to trade Gordon Hayward away and not Kemba, but gee, there looks to be a huge difference between those two players, doesn't there? Kemba Walker does not really add that much to the Celtics with games like this. And if you look at Gordon Hayward's season he's having, I reckon they really are missing him. Tice had 15 and 4 and could not miss some three-pointers. He went on a stretch where he was just unbelievable, Daniel Tice. He had 5 of 6 from deep and on 5 three-pointers. Tristan Thompson had 7, 5 and 3. Grant Williams is getting a bit more run. For deep leagues, have a look at him. 27 minutes, he had 9 and 4 with 1 assist and 2 steals and 1 block. The defensive side of the game is good for him. Peyton Pritchard is back. He played just 15 minutes and had only 3 points and 1 assist. More of a deep league guy again at the moment, or a dynasty guy. Speaking of which, Robbie Williams III had just 12 minutes and he had 6 points and 4 rebounds with no assists and no steals and no blocks, which is why you have him. He does have value in a short amount of minutes, but that was not great. For the Utah Jazz, wow, where do we start? They had a lot of good players. Mitchell, he was 36, 4, and 9 with 1 assist and 2 steals, 12 for 23 from the field, and he hit a couple of big shots, including a ceiling 3-pointer late in the game that put the Jazz up by 9 points. That one was for Shaq, saying he doesn't have the balls, doesn't have the steel balls to go all the way. Now, obviously, it's early in the season, but gee, they have looked good. Shout out to our man, Aussie Joe Ingles, Jingles, Mr. Bo Jingles. Sorry. He had 24, 3, and 6, 5 of 12 shooting, including 5 huge three-pointers. With the Jazz, of course, their three-point shooting is ridiculous. They hit 18 three-pointers in this game on 48 attempts, but you know, still 38% from deep on that kind of volume is decent. Rudy Gobert had 18 and 12 with 3 assists and 3 blocks. He's having a great season. And Bojan, the real Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, Bojan Bogdanovic had 16 and 8 with 4 assists and 2 steals, 2 for 7 from deep on 6 of 12 shooting overall. He's my favorite waiver wire pickup, and feel sorry for the guy who dropped him in the Roto League where I picked him up. Jordan Clarkson had 13 and 2 with 5 assists, 4 of 15 from deep. I think he's still got his nose in front for the sixth man of the year, though. Wouldn't you say?
It's Valentine's Day coming up. 2 million men are already using Manscaped products to groom. Make sure you're one of them. Valentine's Day is upon us. You don't know where the night is going to take you, and our friends at Manscaped, the global leaders in men's below-the-waist grooming, are here to tell you need to use the best tools for the job. If your girl can't think of what to get you this year, tell her to get the gift that's for you and for her. The best way to get started is with Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0, full of the best products to keep you looking, smelling, and feeling nice. The Perfect Package, of course, is led by the revolutionary third-generation lawnmower 3.0 trimmer with its advanced skin-safe technology, which prevents any messes on the bathroom floor and stuff like that because it's waterproof. That's very important when it's time for Cupid to shoot his arrow, of course. The Perfect Package also comes with a pair of Manscaped boxes that will keep your junk feeling fresh all day. It's time to upgrade those over the old, used, stinky pair of boxes you have to these high-performance, anti-chafing boxes. Complete your grooming game with a new refined cologne signature scent by Manscaped. That's the signature scent that's in all Manscaped formulas. This cologne is a perfect complement to your collection. So all of this is the perfect package for your perfect package. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. That is hoopball20 at manscaped.com. 20% off and free shipping. Your balls and the people who enjoy them will thank you.
All right, two games to go on the slate. We have in the next game, the Orlando Magic were up against the Portland Trailblazers. Both teams, of course, very undermanned in terms of personnel due to injuries. The Portland Trailblazers ran out winners 106 points to 97. For the Trailblazers, Damian Lillard, wow. 36, 5 and 2 from Damian, 9 for 22 from the field, but a beautiful 5 of 10 from deep. And you just love to see this, 13 of 13 from the foul line. Damian Lillard is returning that top of the first round value where you drafted him, and he just keeps on keeping on with CJ McCollum out. If you've got him in roto, wow, you just love this boost that you're getting because of the injury to CJ. He was a little bit quiet to start the season, but wow, has he warmed up. Gary Trent Jr. remains a must-add streamer. He had 15 and 4 with 6 assists and 1 steal. The shooting was a little bit rough, 6 for 18. He's another one who sort of vacillates between one bad shooting night and one really good one, or two bad and two good, or something like that, or one bad, two good, one bad. It's a bit up and down, but you can't go by the volume points that you're getting from him at the moment. He was 3 of 9 from deep as well. Rocco has bounced back after a little bit like Kelly Oubre, although he's been even better the last couple of weeks than Kelly. I think he's been a top 50 guy in the last couple of weeks, and he's back inside sort of top 80 on the season is Rocco. He had 5 points, but he had 11 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal and 2 blocks, a kind of Draymond Green sort of type line, that one, isn't it? But those steals and blocks that he's getting and the rebounds are really great. And he has center eligibility, of course, over on Yahoo, which is why you did not drop him, and you should not have sold low on Rocco. Derek Jones Jr. was back, and he had 8 points and 10 rebounds. He's a not bad deep league guy or a streamer for rebounds and a few points, and maybe he'll get you some steals and blocks here and there. Kanter had 6 and 10 with 2 assists and 1 steal. Carmelo Anthony, I feel a little bit dirty to admit this. I'm streaming him in a couple of leagues this week. He had 23 and 3 with no assists and no steals, but he had 3 blocks. Sneaky defensive cat contributions that he's been getting here and there this season as well. Anthony Simons had 11 and 5 with 2 assists. Rodney Hood had just 16 minutes and didn't do very much at all. The opposite of didn't do very much at all is did an absolute shit ton of stuff, and that's what Nikola Vucevic did. He had 27 and 15 with 4 assists and 2 steals and 2 blocks. He is returning first round value this season is Vooch. 10 for 21 from the field, 2 of 7 from deep. The free throw shooting was a bit rough for some reason. Orlando was just terrible at the foul line. They were 12 for 22 at 54%, and Vooch was part of that. He had just 5 of 9 from the free throw line for 55%, but you can't complain because he's been just so good this season. The really good news for people who drafted Terry Ross is he's back. Or at least he had a good game. He hasn't had very many for a while. But this is still his 7th game with 20-plus points this season in, I think they've played, what, 24 games or something like that. You'd probably hope for a little bit more than that. His bad games have been really bad. But he had 22 and 4 with 1 assist and 1 steal. And he also hit 2 3-pointers, although just 2 for 7 from deep. But 9 for 18 shooting overall is really, really good to see. The news, of course, for Atlanta was Cole Anthony left the game with a shoulder injury. And that means Frank Mason, the third, who was on a two-way contract, played 33 minutes. He started the second half at point guard, and he's probably going to get just a crap load of minutes as a result. He had 11 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 assists. Shout out to Adam King, who's saying, wow, 2021 is just weird, man. It's Frank Mason, who is rosterable just about everywhere. I picked him up in 2 leagues. I got him in a 24-team league, actually. Shout out to Eli, if you're listening. I picked this guy off the wire because I've got some injuries and I had some room as soon as he signed that two-way contract. And then I picked him up tonight in one of my other competitive leagues. I had him in my waiver wire stack behind a couple of guys that I got sniped for, but still, I'm pretty happy to pick up that kind of, he's looking like he might even be a kind of like a, you know, somewhere between 10 points and 15 points, four to eight rebounds and, four to eight assists a night. If he's going to play 33 minutes, he's absolutely going to get the opportunity for the Magic because they don't have anybody else. Michael Carter-Williams is still out injured. Fultz is, of course, gone. Gordon is out for ages. Isaac is out. And now, of course, this shoulder injury to Cole Anthony, and we'll just have to wait and see what happens with that. The last game on the slate was the Philadelphia 76ers running out 119 points to 111 winners over the Sacramento Kings. The Kings, of course, have but they've been playing some very, really interesting, close, tightly fought games. They are, I think, 12-12 now. They're right at 500. They look like a play-in team, or maybe they could make the top six. We'll have to wait and see what happens with that. But, a lot better. They just didn't have an answer to Joel Embiid late in the game. He had 25 points, 17 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Weirdly, 6 of 15 from the field. He was pretty poor with his shooting early on. Sacramento playing some pretty tough D on him. Of course, Rashawn Holmes there for the Kings playing some good D. But Embiid's just been great, hasn't he? Toby Harris has also returned that sort of old man squad value that he gives. It's just really solid, isn't it? He had 22 and 10 with 1 assist for the Philadelphia 76ers. Ben Simmons had 14, 7 and 9 with 1 steal. And there was a bit of a bounce back for Seth Curry. I reckon he's probably a pickup. He was dropped in quite a few leagues that I saw. He had 22 and 3 with 1 assist and 1 steal. Just check your waiver wire to see if he's around, because I reckon he got knocked around a bit by the coronavirus and the ankle or whatever. But is there a better three-point guy to have on your team than Seth Curry? The volume's going to be there. We know that there's going to be the opportunity. And he is one of second or third best three-point percentage shooter of all time. That's something I'd like to gamble on, rather than, say, on his own team, Danny Green, who had just 4 points and 5 rebounds on 1 of 6 shooting and 0 of 3 from deep. Thibault is getting a run. He had a block in this game, just 2 rebounds and an assist in 22 minutes, but he is a good defensive category streamer if he's around. Korkmaz had 13 points with some threes. Milton had 11, 3 and 2. He's no longer a must-hold, but you already knew that by now, didn't you? For the Kings, De'Aaron Fox, wow. He had 36, 6 and 10 with a steal. 13 of 30, though, from the field. That field goal percentage, 43% is rough. 3 of 10 from deep and 5 of 8 from the foul line, Mr. Fox. That is 62%. Now, if I asked you to guess without looking, and I'll do like a little bit of a pause, where is De'Aaron Fox on a per-game basis in 9 category this season? What would you say? Would you say he's a third-round guy? Would you say he's a second-round guy? Would you say, those percentages, he's going to be outside the top 50. Where do you reckon De'Aaron Fox is? Give you the think music. By the time I've given you the answer, you probably looked it up. He is 98th on a per-game basis. 98th. Now, why is he 98th? If you have a look, part of the reason for him, it's just the three throw percentage is horrible. It's 68.4% from the line, and he shoots 6.6 per game. So he's basically losing you that category every other week. He also turns the ball over 3.2 times per game, which is a red category for him. And his field goal percentage is 47% or 47 to 48%, which is okay for a guard. Of course, you don't complain too much about that. He doesn't get blocks and he gets low rebounds from the guard position as well. So if his steals are not absolutely off the charts, and this season they're at 1.2, then he's not going to be higher than this. He's another one like Ja Morant that people just lose their absolute minds over, but they're going to lose you categories every week as well. So you just have to be willing to put up with that. But having said that, a bit like Russell Westbrook, although Westbrook's just, been terrible this season because he's been so bad and he's turning the ball over like 5 times a game. They will absolutely stuff other categories for you, and that makes them have value. Buddy Hield, we talked about recently being really bad, but he was okay in this game. He had 21 and 8 with 4 assists. Still, though, the shooting 7 for 20 from the field, and He's been down underneath 40% this season. That is just rough as guts. Harrison Barnes had a bad game. He had 8-7 with 4 assists and 2 steals, and he was 3 of 9 from the field. Bagley had 17-6 with an assist and a steal on 6-for-11 shooting. And the aforementioned Rashawn Holmes had 10-5-1 with 1 block. Not his best game. He only played 22 minutes in this game. Whiteside only played 7, but he managed to have 2 blocks. He's not really an ad unless just absolutely as a block streamer. Halliburton was good. He had 15-2 with 3 assists and 2 steals. He had 2 blocks on 6-for-9 shooting. He was efficient. Halliburton is not the reason that he lost. And he's also one of only 2 guys on the Kings roster who had actually had a positive plus minus, which was 2. Guys like the starters had like -8 and -10. So you can't blame Halliburton for that. Ladies and gentlemen, that has been the show. I look forward to seeing you again on the show this time tomorrow. I may be here with Adam King, or it might just be rolling solo again. I look forward to seeing you then. If you've got any questions or comments, or you'd like to give me a shout out, go and follow me on Twitter, Mr. Jolly of Sydney. Comment on the post. I always share this post on Twitter, so you can go over and comment on it if you like. We would love to hear from you. From me and from my partner, the Haarlander 23, Scotty Haarland, it's bye for now and good luck to you and your family.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.